Chapter 9. Padme chose to accompany him to the temple the next day, with a bag big enough to suggest she planned on staying for a while. He met up with Ventress for sparring before lessons. He'd found it helped if she went into it in a certain state of mind, and fighting put her into that state quickly. Also, it kept him in shape, which was good. Fisto had joined them a couple of times before finishing with Nu, but now it was just them. Ventress seemed surprised to see Padme, though she recovered quickly and offered a jaunty salute. Padme smiled and waved a little, and went to go sit down in the observation area. They did get an audience most days, so she wasn't alone. He could only count it as a good thing. Then he spent some time focusing only on Ventress. She was nowhere near his level, even if his level was falling from not having a lightsaber and very skilled opponents. Challenging her without overwhelming her took a different kind of concentration. He was not good at it, but gradually getting better. Ventress either didn't notice or didn't mind, and kept getting into the sal with him. It helped that he was unarmed. He'd probably have accidentally killed her if he'd had a lightsaber. After showering, it was supposed to be time for meditation. Padme had different ideas. She talked to Ventress as they walked to Music Room 3, and while they sat down, Padme was good at meditation, in her own way. The meditation of perfect aim, of hitting the same spot on a target 10 times with a blaster whining in her hand. Ventress said, "And this is better?" "For a person like you," said Padme, "I think it's the only way. You almost had it in the cell, and now you're nearly tense enough to grind grain. The sit quietly and feel meditation isn't for you." He heard the echo of another statement, about how surprising it was to her that it was for him now. "Well," said Ventress, tilting her head, "what do you think, Master?" "One, never call me that again. Teacher, if you want to be formal, or Anakin, since it's my name. But I refuse to be anyone else's master. 2, it's not a bad idea. We should ask Kanta." "She's not," said Ventress. "I know," he said, "but she probably does know which techniques to point us at, if nothing else." "Oh," said Ventress. "Yes." So they asked Kanta. Well, Padme asked Kanta. The girl sat there for a moment and then said, "I cannot believe I didn't think of that. Yes, there are some exercises. Let's go grab some staves. I can show you." She showed all 3 of them. Padme got it immediately, following Kanta through the steps. He and Ventress kept falling into lightsaber stances, and Kanta wouldn't let them stop until they could do the first of the stave exercises all the way through 3 times perfectly. It was a weird strain, the motions deliberately slow in muscles trained for fast responses, and just complex enough to require constant concentration. It was frustrating to him and Ventress both. Padme, by contrast, was moving smoothly through it on her own and just as clearly meditating, though not in the force-assisted way. "Well," said Ventress, planting the staff in the ground and leaning on it casually, "I'm impressed." "What? How did you manage to get her to agree to marry you?"
"Mutual attraction," said Padme, without looking at them, or, indeed, opening her eyes.
Ventress chuckled. "Yes, but I've seen the Hollows. He wasn't that pretty."
"I don't love him for his looks," said Padme. "You like him now, too."
"I am standing right here," he said.
"Yes," said Ventress. "It's nice that you grew up. I agree. I just don't see why anyone liked you as a child."
"I was a cute kid," he said. "Is this better for you?"
"Right now, it's infuriating," said Ventress. "But it will work. I can feel it."
He nodded. He could feel it, too, in the way she almost didn't need to meditate, despite it being afternoon, hours longer than was usual for her. "Then we'll do it this way." Ventress didn't say anything, but stood up, got back into stance, and started going through it again. His timer went off.
Shut that up, said Ventress. Sorry, assignment, he said. I am learning how to do moving meditation with Ventress, because this will work better than sitting down and reaching for the light. He reset the damn thing. It was annoying, but also, it was working. Padme stopped them not too much after that, anyway, because she was hungry. Ventress finished her run-through, then stood up. Fine, she said. I'll cook. You don't have to, said Padme. I know, said Ventress, and stayed and cooked. Lunch was fish, pan-fried with herbs and spices, and mashed tubers and broiled vegetables. Mashed tubers, it turned out, were easy. He ate a surprisingly large amount, considering how hungry he hadn't thought he was, and then got up to help wash the dishes. Really? Asked Ventress. You should meditate a little, he said, instead of answering the question. Ventress sighed, but went to go sit on the couch. He pulled on the light and threw it at her like a blast. She didn't need to meditate for very long, perhaps 15 minutes. While she was out, Padme said, Is she getting better? Slowly, he said. Very slowly. It's mostly my fault. I'm not a good teacher. There are books on pedagogy, said Padme. That's a point, he said, and sighed. One more thing. But it was also going to be useful for more than just saving Ventress's life. So he said, Thanks. What are we doing in the afternoon? You don't have to follow me, he said. I want to know, said Padme. He shrugged. I was going to check my comms, and then maybe go to the creche. All right, said Padme. His comms were minimal. Teen and Kolar had both pinged him with a list of math questions, probably because they now knew he'd answer. He did his best anyway. Wei had sent a notice telling him she was getting requests of exactly the sort Kamino had made. And what did he want to do with them? Wei, if it isn't too much trouble, have a junior secretary do some research on the companies in question. I don't care about profit lines. I care about corporate culture, specifically ethical concerns. If it's too much trouble, just let me know. Anakin Naberi. Ventress stopped meditating shortly thereafter and stood up. I'll see you tomorrow. Yeah, he said. Good afternoon. He and Padme went to the creche. He was almost expecting Yoda to drop on his head, but the old master walked to them slowly. Good to see you, it is, Senator Amidala. Come, younglings, we must attend. It was the youngest group yet, only year three or whatever the developmental equivalent of their species was. Mostly it meant a lot of noise as the children ran around and played with each other, and then getting messy when it was time for finger painting. By the time they headed back to his apartment, they were both exhausted and messy and in need of another shower. But Padme was smiling, and so he was, too. I think I owe you an apology, said Padme as they walked. Oh? It's not just you who doesn't know how to treat clothes. It's the entire Jedi Order. She looked down at her paint-smeared shirt. It's probably unsalvageable. I don't know, he said. Let me take a look at it. Look? Asked Padme. But he was already taking a deeper look, two levels at once. The fabric was all long-chain molecules, and the dye was tiny in comparison, and also suspended in water. He grabbed at both, and tugged. A fine mist of colored spray hit his hand, but it had left behind a clean patch on Padme's blouse. There, he said with satisfaction. Oh, said Padme, looking at it. So you do dry cleaning now, too? I suppose, he said, and chuckled. But I don't think I can get oils out of things. Water and water solubles only. Oils don't have charge. You're manipulating based on charge? Asked Padme, sounding surprised. He shrugged. Ions aren't always single atoms. And you're good at ions, said Padme. He kept pulling bits of paint, so when they got back, Padme's clothes were mostly clean, and his hand was very colorful.
Padme laughed and began stripping down. Come on, she said. Shower. Really, what she wanted was for him to get the paint out of her hair. He was happy to do it, and Padme leaned into the touch and didn't burst into tears when he shampooed her hair. Then he repeated the process on himself, which was much easier because all he had to do was make everything that wasn't him fall away. Padme laughed as the shower tiles went rainbow splattered, then hugged him, pressed all up along his back. Do the thing, she said into his shoulder blade. He did. At the moment, he was feeling happy. The happy of having been with younglings and now being with Padme. Not sexual, just intimate. Said Padme. Can you do it in reverse? Feel what I'm feeling? Yes, but that's just regular empathy. Plenty of Jedi can do it. I'm asking you, said Padme. How do I feel right now? Padme was happy on the surface, except happy wasn't exactly the word. Padme was amused and unexpectedly joyful. Deep down, underneath, she was profoundly worried. The Senate, the Republic. In the middle, on a level between the two. Oh, he said. All right? She asked, as though it could ever be insufficient. Yes, he said. You want cuddles? We can watch The Geonosian General, said Padme, before he made some comment about how Poggle had never been a general and the movies were awful, she added. And we can talk. Okay, he said. They finished showering in silence that ought to have been awkward, but was instead companionable. After they dried off and queued up the holo and bundled themselves in blankets, and the opening scrawl was scrolling along the screen, Padme said, So, do the thing and keep doing it. You can't do this if you can see my face, and I can't do this if I can't tell how you're reacting. Okay? Okay, he said. He was honestly more than a little worried. Not that Padme wanted to go or wanted him to go, because in that case she'd have just said, just generalized fear. The thing is, and please tell me if I'm wrong, but you don't actually know how to have a healthy romantic relationship. There was a pause. In the silence, his timer went off. Padme blinked, and then turned to muffle her laughter in his shoulder. Well, he said, you're not wrong. Still talking to my wife about our relationship. That's a good thing, said Padme. It took me a while to figure it out. Before, you were... And now you're not making any demands of me at all, which is better, but you're also not making requests, even for things you need, and that's not better. I'm already getting what I need, he said. This was true. Even in the worst case, Padme was alive and she was going to remain alive. Said Padme. What? No, you're not. But I... You aren't not asking for something you know you need. That's better. Less unhealthy. You should know that hugs are okay. I mean, not for Jedi, but you keep saying you're not a Jedi, so... Hugs are something you can have, whenever you want. You just have to ask. Okay, he said, completely baffled. You like cuddles, said Padme, possibly more than you like sex. This was true. Sex was wonderful. Sex was the normal way to express physically everything he felt about her. But he really did enjoy curling up with her after. She kept asking for him to share what he felt anyway, without the physical intermediary, which was not the normal way to do it, but had the distinct advantage of not being indecent in public, and also being about 1,000 times more effective. That's... Okay? I just said it was, said Padme. Oh, whenever we're in public? Not in the middle of a firefight, said Padme, but up to and including inside the Senate dome. Hugging and light kissing and hand-holding are all encouraged. it was becoming increasingly difficult not to kiss her. Right now? Just a little, said Padme. I want to watch the Hollow. He kissed her, perhaps more than just a little, but less urgently than he would have if he were trying to convey his odd love with kisses alone. As it was, he didn't have to. She knew anyway. He pulled back. Is it okay if I just tell you I'm going to do the thing, and then do it? Padme smiled. Tell me what you want to do, and then if I don't refuse, go ahead. I love you so much, he whispered, mostly into her hair. I know, she said. I love you too. Now quiet, this is the funniest scene. He shut up and watched the Hollow. But mostly what he did was hold his wife and wonder how in the galaxy he was lucky enough to have married her. He woke up because someone has set him on fire. And that was not a metaphor. He'd been set on fire during the single worst day of his life. It hadn't even been the worst part of it. But he knew being set on fire and this was it. He screamed, which woke Padme, and threw off the blankets to check what was burning. Nothing was. The night air was cool against his skin. It felt good, because he still felt on fire. Awfully, sickeningly so. Even if he knew the sensations weren't his, even if he knew it was some kind of attack. The knowledge was helpful, inasmuch as he was able to grit his teeth against it, rummage around for where the attack was coming from, track it back even as he pulled power to retaliate. It didn't take long in any case. Whoever it wasn't even trying to hide, not even the most rudimentary of shields. And it was pathetically easy to connect. He managed to wrench his attack away, mainly by will, and screamed again as it was forced to ground in him. It stopped his heart. He restarted it reflexively, and then sat there, panting, in the cool pre-dawn light. Annie? Asked Padme. Are you okay? I'm fine, he said. Kenobi's not. The council was already convening by the time he got to the central spire. Counselors in various states of wakefulness calming in. They were split on whether or not to even let him in until he said, I will break down the door if I have to.
Don't break the door, said Kolar tiredly. Take a seat, Naberes.
He turned around to find Padme, somewhat more put together than he was. She raised an eyebrow. He turned back. Thank you, he said, and swept inside. They waited until everyone but Galia was present. Galia was apparently shutting down a droid task force. And then Fisto said,
So, what happened?
In grave peril, Master Kenobi is, said Yoda. Someone set him on fire, Anakin said bluntly. This caused a murmur. Yoda said, Sure, you are. Yes. Felt the scream I did, but not... Yoda's ears drooped.
He only missed his check-in 6 hours ago,
protested Piel. 6 hours? He said, and pinched the bridge of his nose. Pray you never have to spend 6 hours in a torture chamber with a Sith Lord. You'd better pick someone else for his council seat. Kenobi is out for the rest of the war. When were you going to tell me about this? The way the council eyed each other was answer enough. He sighed. Right, I'm going to need a galactic map with current fleet dispositions and temporary command of the 212th.
But,
began Rancasis. Let me rephrase, he said. You still don't have any authority over me. I'm going to attempt a rescue no matter what else you do. It will be vastly more likely to succeed, not to mention easier, if I'm not acting orthogonally to the Gar. The only question you have to answer is, are you helping me or not? There was a moment of silence.
Yes,
said Kuhn.
Now, Barry, please rein in the dark a little. If I can feel it from here, you must be frightening the younglings.
He took a deep breath and reached for the light. It wasn't easy. It never was when he was that enraged. But Kuhn was right. That wasn't a helpful emotion just then. When he was done, he said, Map, fleet dispositions. A rapid courier ship for when I get a fix on his location.
Can you get a fix on his location?
Asked Windu. Not right now, he said. I have to... Look, it's dark and a little bit theoretically complex. Just, when he next shouts, I'll be waiting, and we'll be able to move as soon as I have.
What makes you so sure he's going to shout again?
Asked Teen. I am intimately familiar with Sith torture techniques, he said grimly. He was right, too. Kenobi didn't shout again for another 3.5 days. It was not a good indicator, as he explained to the Council on the afternoon of the second day. It meant that he'd been patched up in the interim, that the torturer wanted to keep being able to do this for a while.
At least it means that we have a little more time?
Suggested Kuhn. He looked at Kel Dor coldly. No, he said. We're already much too late. He did tell Ventress, of course. He had to. It wouldn't be fair to just leave without, at the very least, telling her where he was going. She looked at him with her icy blue eyes for a long, long minute, and then said, I'm coming with. What? No! She rolled her eyes. Calm down, hero. I'm not going after Dooku. I'm going along to make sure you don't do any of the million stupidly fearless things you're likely to do without me. Good, said Padme. She was sticking close. He didn't know why. It wasn't like she was in any danger anywhere in the temple. I'm not into doing anything stupidly heroic anymore, he said. Ventress blinked and looked to Padme. Padme shrugged and jerked her head at him. Palpatine, said Ventress. The Senate, added Padme. He said. Fine, I will grant you the Senate, but I went after Sidious with Windu and Yoda. And I do still need you, teacher, said Ventress. You need another blade anyway. This was true. He sighed. Yes, all right. Actually, you need a blade first, said Ventress. When are you going to get on that? I'm not, he said. I don't need one. He didn't. Even when Yoda indicated that if he were to go spend a few hours in the crafts room of the quartermasters, the council would look the other way. Mostly what he spent his days doing, aside from making sure Ventress got enough meditation after her hours with Kanta, was in strategy. Padme came too, and no one dared say a thing. Probably no one who were, technically, civilians should know quite so much as they did about the Gar, but it was necessary. Besides, Separatist space had fragmented into dozens of small territories. It really wouldn't be long, even if Dooku had finally come out of his hole. He helped a little, or tried to, with the reshuffle to cover the hole the 212th would leave. But by the time he made his suggestion, the brothers had taken care of it. They'd done exactly what he would have suggested, too, with one or two minor variations. The ship was a modified YT-1300P, because of course it was. Actually, it wasn't a bad choice for a rescue mission. It had plenty of extra space, even considering they were gutting one of the bedrooms to make space for 2 full-sized Bacta tanks. He knew how fast the things were, or at least could be if one was willing to disable a few safeties, and how maneuverable. And this particular one was armed to the teeth with some laser cannons that had clearly seen use and, unusually, a couple of electron torpedoes. He grinned on discovering that. Electrons were electrons, of course, and antimatter was antimatter. And then there was the Force. On the third day, as he was heading to the ship, he met Ventress coming the other direction with a hover cart full of green things. He stared. What? A girl gets tired of eating processed food all the time, said Ventress. And my boys win awards, don't you? She added, to the gaudy little fish in the aquaponics tanks. But I can't leave them alone for however long it's going to be. And anyway, I'm not taking them into a Skywalker Kenobi disaster. They'll be safe enough here. And so will my ship. Her ship was called the Banshee, and was clearly a fast pursuit craft. If it hadn't been far too small, he'd have suggested using it as their vehicle instead. As it was, he gaped. "You live on your ship?" Ventress shrugged.
"I don't mind a small space, as long as it's mine."
"Right. You take the other bedroom."
"Done."
Ventress was more than competent with turbo lasers, so he left her to it. Padme had taken over provisioning and getting the tanks set up. He was tuning the engines. They'd replaced the hyperdrive motivator with a new Class 1.3 T-19, and despite the circumstances, he was excited to try it out. He'd just closed the casing and was turning to put the tools away when the second scream hit him. This time, it wasn't Kenobi being set on fire. Intellectually, he knew that, of course, it wouldn't be. Torture had to be varied for it to work. There was a kind of dull background pain that suggested a beating, and a much more immediate pain that suggested someone was, deliberately and precisely, breaking every bone in Kenobi's right hand. That was helpful to him, though. There was no way anyone could break any bones in his right hand. His actuators were steel. He was therefore much more able to separate the pain from himself and track it back to the source. At the same time, he turned on his comm to record. Kenobi was surprised to sense him, along with a distinct flavor of incredulous disbelief. It probably meant Kenobi was wondering if he were a hallucination. He pulsed back love and reached into the Force to get his vector. Once he had it, which really didn't take all that long, he pulled on the light and wrapped Kenobi in it. The sense of Kenobi abruptly cut out as the Jedi caught on and began meditating. Well, good for him. He cleaned and packed away the tools, and then cleaned himself up, and then went to get R2-D2 to do the back calculations and find where his vector went. He blinked. It was there, and the Force was still as subtle as a brick to the hindbrain, and went to go inform the Council. They didn't lift until the next day, and he could tell they were only able to do that because half of medical and more than a few from the quartermaster had pulled an extensive all-nighter to get the Bacta tank set up and all the supplies loaded and stowed. He was up early to meet Ventress on the Pore Stone. He blinked. "No," he said.
"Yes," said Padme.
"Padme, I can't protect you and protect Kenobi simultaneously."
"I think it's a great idea," said Ventress. "I want someone to lay down proper long-range cover, to watch my back while I'm watching yours."
"But who is going to watch her back?"
"We're rendezvousing with the 212th, aren't we?" asked Padme. "We're not assaulting Dooku in his own home with just the three of us. They can watch my back."
"No."
"Annie, how are you going to stop me from walking onto that ship?"
He blinked. She walked past him. He said, "Padme, please."
"He's not my brother," said Padme, "but he's my brother-in-law and my friend, and I am not staying here. Annie, empathy now."
He took a deep breath to avoid shouting at her and felt around her emotionally. She was absolutely determined, do or die determined, to see this through. And underneath that, pervasive worry that tasted a little like him, but mostly like Kenobi. "Oh," he said.
"Yes," said Padme.
"I want to state, for the record, that I still don't think you should come."
"Noted," said Padme,
and kept going up the ramp. He'd have turned to follow her, except for the two totally unexpected people walking towards them. He said, "Kai, what the hell are you doing here?"
"I have no idea," said Migs Kai.
"Master Yoda just grabbed me and told me to pack for a couple of weeks and come along."
"Yoda, what the hell is Kai doing here?"
"See the worst of the dark side, Kai must," said Yoda serenely. "I am not taking a youngling to fight with Dooku."
"Passed his initiates trials, Kai has. Of age to be a Padawan, he is. Tano, you took many times into fights. Some with Dooku."
"Yes, because the entire Criffing Order is clearly insane, and me right along with you," he said. I don't do Padawans anymore. Except Ventress, said Kai. Ventress is an adult. And also, if I refuse to teach her, she's going to die. Once she's done, she made it pretty clear her plans don't involve staying.
Oh, said Kai. Look, if I'm not coming, can I go now?
Yes, he said.
No, said Yoda. Coming with us, you are.
He folded his arms. Are you taking responsibility for protecting him?
Protect himself, Kai Kan.
Forgive me if I doubt that, he said. But he's nowhere near ready to go up against Dooku.
Few are, said Yoda.
But keep a learner from a needful lesson you will not.
What lesson? He shouted.
Of the Sith, said Yoda. He narrowed his eyes.
No.
Teach it you will then?
No.
And then more gently, not to a 13-year-old.
Needful it is that the knowledge now he has. A truth this is.
And the thing was, Yoda was absolutely right. Kai had to be able to make an informed decision. He turned and glared at the poor stone landing area.
Any other people I don't want to bring along who are coming anyway?
No one answered.
Great! Yoda, why are you coming?
My Padawan, Dooku, is... Oh, yes, of course. If anyone had a right to see this to whatever end, Yoda did.
Well, come on then.
There were three bedrooms, but of course one of them had been turned into a functional triage hospital. Ventress and Padme had each picked one of the others, and he was not brave enough to try getting Ventress out of the space she'd claimed. I think you'll have to take the crew berths in engineering, he said.
No matter, said Yoda.
Any of the bunks dwarfed him, and even for a person of Kai's size, the bed would be comfortable and dark enough with the privacy canopy down. He and Padme would probably end up in two bunks, just because they wouldn't fit in one. He didn't like the thought. Once they got everything stowed, he called everyone to the cockpit to strap in for takeoff. There were only four seats in the cockpit, which was a problem Yoda solved by gluing himself to the ceiling.
Why is there a child? Asked Ventress.
Ventress, Migs Kai. Kai, Ventress. Yoda brought him.
Right, said Ventress while he did the pre-flight. Why is Yoda coming?
Wish to, I do, said Yoda.
As long as you have our backs, said Ventress, and turned to join him in pre-flight.
His timer went off in the middle of doing that, and Ventress gave him an irritated look while he recited his current goal, which was rescuing Kenobi, and reset it. The launch went smoothly, at least. They made a short micro-jump in-system to check the motivator. It screamed the way they all did before abruptly settling. He smiled and said,
All right, we're doing this in three steps. One to the inner mid-rim to join up with the Negotiator, and then the second on board the Negotiator to get to our final destination. We'll stop in-system, but outside of sensor range. And we five, along with a squad or two of volunteer troops, will make the final approach in hyperspace until we're suborbital. The new motivator can handle the calculations, although I'm not going to be turning the safeties off until just before that final jump. Any questions?
Can I not come? Asked Kai.
No, said Yoda. Educational, it will be.
I thought so, said Kai glumly.
Great. The Negotiator is coming corewards to meet us. The rendezvous is in 79 hours. We'll spend that time in training and meditation. We don't have room for real sparring, unfortunately, but we can at least show Kai how to defend himself, and hopefully Ventress will have a breakthrough on the way.
Ventress sniffed. Padme laughed, and he said, Returning to hyperspace on my mark. 3, 2, 1, mark. The first day went like this. He and Ventress ran through the moving meditation using the polished wooden staves they'd brought along for just that reason. Kai and Padme watched. Yoda sat quietly and said nothing. It wasn't like there was anything to see, anyway.
I don't get it, said Kai after a while.
What's the point of this?
Padme shrugged.
Something about Ventress and meditation.
I can't do it on my own, said Ventress crisply.
Really? But it's easy.
Yes. Thank you for reminding me that I never learned things that temple crushlings are taught, replied Ventress. Don't talk to me again until you have something constructive to say.
Kai shot up. Padme said, Asajj?
Padme, said Ventress back.
He was never, ever going to ask. Instead, he moved to hit Ventress over the head with his stick.
Talk later. Meditation now.
They went through the movements another couple dozen times, and then stopped. Ventress made a late lunch, although she sniffed derisively at the quality of ingredients available.
At least they're not ration bars, he said, and ate his.
Much better, agreed Yoda.
Ration bars, said Ventress.
Thank you, said Padme. After lunch, they sat down to actually meditate, and Yoda and Kai sat down too. After about 15 minutes, Kai stopped and asked, Why are you burning?
He opened one eye.
What? You keep, burning, Miss Ventress, with the light. Why?
When I tried to do it gently, she yelled at me, he said, and closed his eye again.
Can I try?
He opened both eyes.
I mean, aside from doing it on someone else, it doesn't look hard. Can I?
We'd have to ask Ventress, he said. Later. She does not like to be interrupted.
Okay, said Kai. I'm going to take a shower then.
He settled back down with a mental sigh.
Fact, it probably wasn't unhealthy for Kai not to be meditating hours at a time. He'd had one minor issue, which they'd already worked out.
Fact, Yoda was certain of the decision Kai would eventually make. He himself was not so sure.
Fact, he didn't want that particular responsibility, ever. He was not good at it. But there was no one else. It was going to have to be him.
Fact, he really, really did not want to have to fight the council on this. But it was now out of his hands.
Ventress poked him in the forehead.
Naberi, come out of there. We're cooking.
We are? He asked.
Well, I'm cooking, and I can use a sous chef.
Okay, he said. What does a sous chef do?
Chop onions, said Ventress.
In fact, what a sous chef did was all the boring parts of cooking. Washing vegetables, peeling, chopping, keeping an eye on things so they didn't boil over, deboning, washing dishes. But it all had to be done, and it gave him a chance to watch Ventress. She was a kind of conductor, hardly moving at all, while around her things popped and sizzled and steamed.
Like what you see? She asked, without turning to look at him.
How did you learn this? He asked, which wasn't an answer, but also kind of was.
What are you going to tell me in return?
Ask something. I'll tell you if that isn't something I'm willing to answer.
Ventress nodded.
Fair.
My first master taught me a little, before he was killed, but he wasn't good at it. And then people kept trying to poison me, so I stopped trusting food other people made. It took me about a week of eating rice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner to decide to learn how to cook properly.
What was your name, as a Sith? His lips quirked into a half-smile.
Very pretentious. Darth Vader.
Palpatine, then.
Sidious, he said. Palpatine was only ever a mask.
Am I right in guessing Dooku was never meant to survive?
You have to answer another question for that, he said.
Done.
I don't think never. Sidious liked having contingencies. The more, the better. If he hadn't been able to turn me, probably he'd have kept Dooku. As it was, though, you're right. I murdered Dooku. That was a terrible mistake, and one I don't plan to make again. Kai wanted to know if he could try assisting you with meditation.
That's not a question.
It's a request, then.
Why?
It's interesting to me.
I think you should. At worst, it doesn't work. At best?
I'm not reliant on you specifically, said Ventress. Although the Jedi in general still have a leash.
How long is this going to take?
It's been 2 weeks, he said, and you've made better progress than I did starting out.
Thanks, said Ventress, and seemed to mean it.
You're welcome, he said.
Dinner was duck soldiers, breaded and pan-fried, red rice, onions and snap peas and mushrooms, stir-fried, and a sort of sweet, gelatinous egg milk thing for dessert. Kai ate too, and said, "We never eat this well in the temple."
That's because the temple kitchens have to feed 10,000 people. They can't afford to do fiddly, impressive things. I hear you want to try helping me meditate.
If that's okay?
We'll try tomorrow, after saber practice.
Do or do not, said Yoda. He rolled his eyes. That is undoubtedly what will happen, Yoda. You can stop giving him pseudo-philosophical nonsense at any point. Nonsense, is it? At me, Master Windu shouted. He sighed.
I'm sure he did.
Why? Asked Padme.
I was needling him, he answered.
There are less dangerous hobbies, Naberi, said Ventress.
Some points to be driven home, with an acoustic multi-tool if necessary, he said.
That was one of them. He didn't yell at me. He knew I was right.
Right about what? Asked Kai.
The appropriate attitude to take towards homesick 9-year-olds, he said. And anger. It doesn't have to lead to hate. It can, if you want to hate. On the other hand, it can also lead to me picking up a lightsaber and calling a couple of Jedi Masters and going to fight the most dangerous Sith in the galaxy. He shrugged. It's all in the use.
Are you going to do it again?
Possibly, he said. I don't want to.
That's a change, said Padme.
Yeah, well, I've lived under the thumb of Sidious. I wouldn't wish it on anyone.
Later, tucked into their separate berths, Padme said softly,
Did you mean that?
Hmm? He asked.
About Dooku.
Of course. Why?
Some of the ways you've changed are not comfortable. And then some of the ways you changed are like this. I like you better now. This person you've become.
Oh, he said. But in the dark, he was smiling. The second day went like this. He woke up, ate breakfast, and tried to see about fixing Kai's stances. He'd expected Ventress to help, but she said,
No, I'm going to find a mouse.
He blinked. This is a ship, Ventress. We don't have mice.
We have at least one, said Ventress, and left.
He and Kai did stretches, and then he walked Kai first through the simpler stances, then the complex ones. When doing it slowly, Kai was perfect. When doing it quickly... Stop dropping your point, he said, tapping at the boy's shoulder. If this were a real battle, doing that drops your guard enough that I can decapitate you. Said Kai, but held his saber higher. This doesn't feel right. Off balance somehow. He looked at Kai's feet, which were firmly planted well wide enough to support the stance. Then he checked Kai's torsion, which was almost non-existent. He walked around, trying to find the place where the balance was off. He found it on the second circuit. Huh, good catch. Raise your left elbow. 5 centimeters. Kai did.
Oh, that's how it's supposed to work?
Don't drop your point, he said. They went on like that for perhaps 140 more minutes, and then Ventress came back. This was not a problem. The problem was that she was frog-marching someone with her, and it wasn't Padme, and it wasn't Yoda. He closed his eyes and took a deep breath.
Our mouse?
Agreed Ventress. What are we going to do with him?
Send him home, he said.
No! Objected Han Solo. I want to help beat up the bad guys! Too bad, he replied. You are so very grounded, hon. I am going to go calm your mother, who must be terrified by now. And I'm going to calm the negotiator, so they'll have transport ready to take you back to Coruscant when we arrive. In the meantime, you are going to sit down and shut up and not talk at all. But no, hon, not a word.
Who is he? Asked Ventress.
My therapist's son, he replied. I really do need to go make that call. Do you want to take over with Kai?
No, said Ventress. Kai, we'll do moving meditation.
Okay, asked Kai.
But, said Han again. He let his irritation show in his eyes and said, No, I am hovering on the edge of being angry with you, Han. Try to avoid that. I'm not a heroic person when I'm angry.
That finally seemed to do it. Han sat down. Ventress went to go get the staves. He went to engineering and placed a call to Coruscant. It took more than a few minutes to get Solo, and when he did, she sounded exhausted.
Oh, Nabari, I'm sorry, I just...
The good news, he said, is that we have your son. That's also the bad news. There was a pause.
He stowed away.
He stowed away.
Okay, what's the plan?
Put him on a shuttle when we rendezvous with the negotiator and send him home. You were my first calm because I knew you had to be frantic. We've got him. He's fine, aside from being an idiot. It will be all right.
I...
said Solo.
Thank you. You can't imagine...
I can, he said. You don't have to thank me. It's the only reasonable thing to do.
Yes,
agreed Solo.
Thank you, Nabari. Solo out.
He blinked, then calmed ahead. Cody just stared at him for a long, long moment, and then said,
Only you.
You don't get to blame this one on me, he said. This is all the media's fault. Why did they pick me to be the hero anyway?
Because you have visible feelings,
said Cody. Oh, he couldn't argue with that. As opposed to Jedi, who go out of their way to be as robotic as possible without actually being droids. I get it. Ask around, okay? Someone has to take him home. Someone who's already injured, maybe?
Yes, sir,
said Cody. Also, don't call me sir. I'm not anyone's commanding officer.
For this mission, you are,
said Cody.
Can you tell how Rex is?
I can tell he's not dead, and that's it. Who was with them?
Tano, Kix, Echo, Fives.
Domino, got it, he said. Tup?
Who?
Right, hasn't happened here, he said. But keep an eye out for him. He wasn't a speedy, so unless he died in the weeks between me showing up and me figuring out the code thing, he's running around somewhere.
The hell?
Asked Cody. I did say, if we're calling it a vision, it was, subjectively, 24 years long. I keep remembering things that haven't happened yet. Tup only joined the 501st in the last year of the war. This coming year, if we're mapping time to time.
Tup?
Long hair, crazy, perfect fit in the 501st.
I'll keep an eye out,
promised Cody.
See you in a couple of days, yeah?
Yes. Nabari out. He went back to the common room, where Han was tied to a chair, and Kai and Ventress were doing... He didn't even know what to call it. Moving meditation, or a battle in slow motion, or both simultaneously. Instead, he asked, Why is Han tied to a chair?
Because he wouldn't stop talking, said Ventress, without taking her eyes off Kai.
And he was gagged, he saw, now that he could see Han's front. Kai? Ventress? He waited until they stopped. That is not an appropriate response to someone annoying you.
I told you he wouldn't be happy, said Kai.
You're a horrible role model, he informed Ventress, and went to go untie the gag. Once it was untied, Han said meekly,
Thank you. I'd like some water, please.
Mugs over by the sink,
he said, and got to work on the fact that Han was still stuck to a chair. The knots were, he was pleased to see, properly done, above and below the joint so as to not restrict blood flow, and also without any leeway. He could have gotten out of them, but Ventress probably couldn't. Kai, I'm giving you this one pass, but in the future, when you see someone doing something wrong, you stop them. Ventress, there are better ways to get people to stop talking than tying them up and gagging them. So don't. Just don't.
You have to show me one of the better ways, teacher, said Ventress.
He sighed, but it was a fair request if she honestly didn't know. And given what he knew of her life, she probably really didn't know. All right, as you were. Ventress nodded and turned back to Kai. He finished untying the knots, and Han got himself a cup of water, which he sipped slowly.
What are they doing?
Learning, he replied absently.
It's boring, stated Han.
He said. If the only two options are boring and being shot at by droids with blasters, I will take boring every single time. Han thought about this.
Is there not boring and also not dangerous?
You mean fun?
Yes!
He sighed. Not on this ship. I have watched some of the stuff. I mean, Padme likes watching Hero with No Fear holos.
Yeah?
Asked Han. Let me tell you, he said, about the actual rescue of Ryloth. Han was subdued that night at dinner. So was Kai. He looked at them both, and then to Yoda.
Learned an important lesson, Kai has, said Yoda.
Great, he said softly. So has Han. He'd spent several hours talking. It wasn't stuff the council didn't already know, so he'd thought it had been fine. It wasn't fine. He was hoarse with repressed tears. Padme had come in partway through, and without a word sat down next to him and started hugging. A couple of times, she'd had to stop him and remind him that Han was still just a child and perhaps didn't need to know all the details.
I desperately need to meditate, he added.
You need to wash the dishes, said Ventress.
Yeah, he said. Okay.
Well, Ventress was really the only one of them who could cook. Obviously, she didn't have to cook and clean up. But after dishes, he sat down to meditate, and Kai sat down to get Ventress to meditate. He did it in a different way, like pulling the force through her instead of starting with a bunch of it and shoving it at her. It worked, even more than his method, so he let himself settle. Fact. The war had been shit. Ryloth had just been a different shitty part of the entire shitty war. Fact. He'd still been trying to be a Jedi then, and he had never been good accepting emotions and then letting go. He'd gotten good at repression instead. Fact. This was clearly not one of the things he'd cleared out. Not on the Conquest, not on the Executor, not on either Death Star, and not during his inadvertent coma. Fact. It was going to be another coma, probably, as he unpacked and worked through all the other parts of the war he hadn't dealt with. Hopefully a short one, since this time he had a goal going in. The last thought was grimly humorous, enough to kick him out of meditation. Since when had his life ever gone to plan? But at least this time he could probably give the doctors a better heads up and avoid the round-the-clock watch. Later, though, he had a brother and a Padawan and some brothers to rescue right now, and a Sith Lord to arrest. Also, the timer was going off. Again.